Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Three extremely poor decisions. Three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan for the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options.
Forest and Magic on and off the pitch, and today they lost away 2-0 at Everton with long-range strikes from Idrissa Garnagay in the first half and Dwight McNeil, who always seems to score against us, in the second half. Tom Newton, before we go through the match, do you think that that statement of Forest being Magic on and off the pitch has been tested in this last week?
I think it has, and it's been a bit of an embarrassing week. We've mentioned, obviously, in the 5-5 with the season card prices and tweets from the club, and then another tweet today. So it's never dull, is it, on Trent side at the moment regarding social media and news coming out of the club.
Yeah, and we will talk about the statement and the Forest reaction to today's refereeing display, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. I just want to start off by coming on to the main part of the match. So I'm Rich Ferraro. This is the 1865 match report, and Forest lined up today with Matt Sells in goal. We had Nico Williams and Ola Aina at fullback, and Murillo was this time partnered by Moussa Niakate. In midfield, Nico Dominguez replaced Ryan Yates to partner Danilo, and we had the same three as we did last week, with Gio Reyna, Morgan Gibbs-White and Callum Hudson-Odoi playing behind Chris Wood. And Tom, you got your wish. There was no Yates and Dominguez was given his chance.
Yes. Looking at the team, I thought it's quite a decent lineup. Obviously, he had the doubt with Alanga in the week, and he only was fit enough for the bench. And yeah, looking at it, I thought, it was a decent lineup. However, I just think we ultimately struggled, especially in that midfield, because you had the two in there with Danilo and Dominguez, but then you had Gomez, Idrissa Garnagay, and I can't remember who the other guy was now.
Decore,
yes. So I just think with the extra man in midfield, I think we just struggled at the time because they just put like Calvin Lewis up top between the two centre-halves and everything. And I think there's a few times, especially that first half and then going into the second half, that Danilo and Dominguez lost their way a bit with that extra man in midfield from Everton.
And I know that recently you've not been very happy with Ryan Yates' contribution, but I personally would have played him in this match because I think that kind of combative nature that he has, we all know that he lacks in ability, but I think that's the kind of thing we needed to have that little bit of fight in midfield. And Dominguez, he is a scrapper, but not in the same way. So he looked good in terms of receiving the ball in front of the back four, playing as that fulcrum when he had that space. But did he add what Ryan Yates adds? No. Is that a good thing? Well, ultimately, we lost again. So maybe it didn't make that much difference.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think you're damned if you are and damned if you're not with Yates at the moment. Like I said, ultimately, I think you've got to play him in certain games. So last week against Wolves, probably a bit more technical with their midfielders. And being at home, you need to be on the front foot. And today against Everton, you just know there was going to be a bit of a battle in there. And probably, in hindsight, it probably would have been better for Yates to be in there. But obviously, Nuno didn't go with that pick.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's also, you know, had Bolly been available, I'm sure that he would have gone for Bolly. But Niakate is the next kind of experienced option instead of Omobamadeli. And, you know, so I understand those selections. Now, talking about the match itself, it was Forrest who had the first chance. And just after a few minutes, when the ball came across to Nico Williams, who was doing a good job in the first half of getting forward. And he had a go and he brought a decent save out of Pickford.
He did. I just thought with it, because we was on that his side in the first half, I don't want to be too harsh on him because he's not obviously noted for his goal scoring, but I think Williams should have shot across goal. I think it was more at Pickford more than anything. And yeah, it was a good opportunity and he was getting a couple of openings down that left side against Mykolenko. But he made the keeper work first and foremost, but yeah, I just think he should have been, if he was a winger or somebody a bit cultured in terms of an attacking sense, shooting across the keeper. If Pickford saves it, you might have a chance for a tap-in, a bit like the pullback against Newcastle on Boxing Day. So, yeah, they were getting some decent openings. But again, same in the Spurs game a couple of weeks ago. It's all right playing for 25 minutes, but we didn't score. Then, obviously, which we'll mention in a minute, Agonagay scored. So, yeah, it's been a common theme this season. When Forest are in the ascendancy, they don't seem to punish teams. And ultimately, that's been our downfall this season.
Well, yeah, this is what I was going to comment, is that it was actually, Forest looked like the better team until, and certainly they kept Everton at bay. But then the ball came out to Agonagay. You could... There's a whole range of areas where you could be critical. Should the cross have come in the first place? Maybe not. Should Ole Aina have done better with his header away? Maybe. Should Sells have done better? And should Danilo have done more to close down Garnagay? Those are all maybes, but the bottom line is that Everton scored with their first shot of the match. And frankly, allowing all of those caveats and being kind of critical in that way, but also it just felt a bit lucky on their part.
Yeah, it was kind of, one of my mates at halftime says, basically, we're losing a 0-0 game. I could completely get what he was coming, because, we didn't score and they weren't particularly great, but they had a shot. Sometimes with us, we don't want to shoot. They had a shot, took a chance. Like he says, there's a lot of caveats in that. That we could have done a lot better. I thought initially, because it was at our end of the ground, I thought that Sells can potentially do better. Mm-hmm. But then I've watched on the replay and I think it's right in the corner there, but it should have been preventable. Again, it's another preventable goal, isn't it? If we do certain things correct, that goal doesn't happen. And it's just been a common theme this season that there's always something on the lead up of a goal. It's not like we've been ripped open. It's a preventable incident in that time of the game where, yeah, we could have done a lot better in certain aspects and prevented that goal. But then the goal goes in and it's just, here we go again, kind of thing on the road.
And as we've commented in the past, you know, we've got decent centre-halves, but conceding goals in the way that we do is a whole team responsibility. And that's the way that I felt about that one. When you've got a shot coming in from 20-something yards and the whole team have kind of let it happen, I'm certainly not attaching any blame to Sells. It went as far in the corner as it could. He was slightly unsighted. It wasn't fast, but it was in the corner. And so, yeah, like you say, losing a 0-0 game and at that point, though, I have to say that for quite some time, Everton got in the ascendancy after they scored the goal. But then I still felt that Forest were in it, and there were a number of moments that we need to talk about. So I'll do them in order of what happened in the first half. We had three moments. Number one was Gio Reyna going down in the penalty area. Number two was Chris Wood having a header, which was saved by Jordan Pickford. And then number three was Callum Hudson-Odoi putting the... volleying the ball across and it hitting Ashley Young's arm. Now, all of those, I believe, were at the other side from where you were sat. So tell me about any of those instances, what you see, what you remember, what you think.
So obviously we was in the Bullens Road stand lower. So it's, and so where the two incidents happened, especially the handball, which Ashley Young handballed, and Gio Reyna, they were right on the far side of their, I think it's called the grandstand, in where the church is in the corner. So we didn't really, like, the first one, like, Gio Reyna went down, we didn't know what actually happened. But the second one, like, Callum Hudson-Odoi was absolutely adamant that Ashley Young handballed it. And looking back at half-time, it's a stonewaller. Am I surprised that it's not been given? No, because it's been the common theme. I don't want to, first and foremost, we will get on this in a minute. First and foremost, we've got to make sure we get our own house in order. And we've got to play a lot better if we're going to win football matches. And if we've left everything out on the field and come away from the game agreed by a decision, kind of, it puts a bit more... meat on the bones of how Forest feel hard done by at the moment. So, yeah, I just think, yeah, anything which is subjective, we're not getting. We could be playing all through the summer and we will not get certain decisions. And I don't want fans from other clubs saying, oh, poor old Forest and all of that. It's just getting to a point where I'm like thinking, you've got to basically... absolutely kneecap somebody in the area for us to get a penalty, and that would probably go to a VAR screen kind of thing. So, yeah, it was a penalty. The handball one, that's because he's made himself big. It's an unnatural position. But the Gio Reyna one, I've seen some given, I've seen others not.
Yeah, so you were at the ground, I was watching on Sky. I have to say, the Reyna one, at first glance, I thought, no. Then I saw the replay and I thought, well, there's contact and therefore you've seen him given. But I also thought, if it was my defender on their attacker, I'd feel a little bit aggrieved. You know, you'd accept it, be a bit annoyed. Whereas the one where it came off Ashley Young's hand, I'd be like, well, you can't argue with that. Basically, if you wave your arms about in the penalty area and it hits your hand, you really can't argue with it. And crucially, what you wouldn't have seen, which Sky very clearly showed and no one else has commented on, you said about how annoyed Hudson-Odoi was. Ashley Young's face was, basically his face went white. He just like was like, oh, crap, as he looked at the ref. So he knew. He knew.
Did earlier in the season, Everton played Liverpool, didn't they? And there was very, very similar... mm-hmm. incident, and I can't remember what the actual outcome of the incident was. Same position, Ashley Young's involved. Can't remember if a penalty was given. Liverpool.
As happens to a lot of players, once they reach a certain age, Ashley Young clearly has protected status. I mean, we all saw. For the older listener, I remember Brian Robson, once he hit 30, he'd just go around kicking everyone, and no one had ever given anything against him. And Ashley Young, he can do what he wants. He's always flirted with the law, hasn't he? But it doesn't matter what he does, he's never going to get anything given against him. So he kicked through Reyna's heel, and you've seen him given. The ball hit his hand, he knew it was a handball. In between times, let's talk about the cross that came across. And well, it wasn't really a cross, it's kind of a mishit shot, really, by Gibbs White. And Wood, when I saw Wood was there, I was already jumping off the sofa. And I, to this moment now, several hours later, but on the same day, I still don't quite understand that it didn't go in. It feels like it had to go in. But yeah. Pickford's much maligned in some corners. I still think he's England's number one goalkeeper, and that's part of the reason why.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, he's a bit of a class clown, isn't he? Pickford, he winds up the away fans. He's giving it the fist pumps and everything to the home.
It's what a lot of good goalkeepers do.
Yeah, and he's got like an edge to him. And that save, you just know why he's England's number one. And to be honest, apart from that mistake he made against Belgium the other week, he's never really let England down, has he? So you can see him why he's England number one. It's a phenomenal save. But I think that's the only time we actually tested him, really.
And probably. I mean, it's certainly the only significant save that he had to make, and probably actually the only significant save in the entire match, frankly. There was a save that Sells had to make in the second half. The upshot is that we went in at the break 1-0 down, and then in the second half, I don't know, like basically I feel the match petered out generally. The second half was too, it's still a stalemate. It's two risk-averse teams. Yeah. And the moment that everyone will talk about is the third penalty shout. Now, this one was closer to where you were.
Yeah, but it's like as soon as he, because I think it was either Danilo, I think Danilo put the through ball in.
Yeah.
And Hudson-Odoi's on it. And he's like his goal side of him. You don't need to go down. And I thought, that's a penalty, that is, because he's just about to pull his leg back for the shot. Then Anthony Taylor says he's won the ball. And I'm like thinking, how have you so adamant that he's won the ball? You know, like some, they like pause and like think, oh, shall I have a look? No, he was adamant that he's won the ball. And I'll have to watch it back because I've only seen it live since I've been obviously driving back from Liverpool. But again, it's one of those subjective.
Well, okay, so I think this is where there's a couple of things that are worth mentioning. So the first thing that's worth mentioning to my mind is that, as you say, Hudson-Odoi, he was getting ready to pull the trigger, so he wouldn't go down just for the sake of it. The question was, did Ashley Young win the ball? So I'll come back to that in a second. I will also add, as an aside, that Hudson-Odoi had one of those matches where I get really, really frustrated with him, because there's only, he could have had Ashley Young on toast on several occasions, and his insistence on pulling in and cutting back when he could go outside the man. He only went outside the man once and it worked.
Yeah.
And he should have done that more. But on this occasion, did Ashley Young win the ball? The referee thought so. Surely that is exactly what VAR is for, to say to the ref, no, he didn't. He did kick the man. Why don't you have a look at the screen? And VAR was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, if that's a top, I'm not so going on about this top six bias, because we all know we've basically talked about it since the cows have come home. But yeah, if that's Man United or Arsenal or someone like that, he's going over to the screen, isn't he? And because it's us, no, it's like the three decisions. Apparently, they were so quick to like come to a conclusion, no penalty. But if that's like one of the top clubs at the top of echelons of the league, they'd be going over and having like conversations. Ours were like very much dismissed.
VAR's there to confirm the referee's decision these days, it seems, which is a change in, you know, an explicit change in approach since Howard Webb's taken over. But you look at the handball that was given against Man United in the FA Cup semi-final, which was an absolutely belting match, and commiserations to Coventry, who must feel absolutely hard done by with the offside, the ball off the underside of the bar. But they got this decision whereby it hit Aaron Wan-Bissaka. It's exactly the same thing whereby the defender had made himself big and could argue about the arm being in a natural position or not. Referee gives it, VAR just say, yeah, fine. So VAR, can they not give the same decision to what? Bearing in mind the ref has to go with what he sees, VAR have the time and the technology to look at it and say, you know what? Looking at the laws of the game, and by the way, the handball laws are ridiculous. They are ridiculously complicated. Offside laws are ridiculously complicated. So many of the laws IFAB have made ridiculously complicated. But isn't that what VAR is for? To say, right, according to the way the laws are written down, this is what we think. Why don't you have a look at the screen?
Yeah, but somehow they don't, do they? It's like last year. I honestly cannot remember a game this season. I think the only game actually is the Brighton game. Where he went to the screen. I can't think of any other match, especially at home, where the referee's gone over to the screen compared to last season, and we've had more decision go against us this year. It's just a funny observation.
You just want the same decisions to be made more than once, don't you?
Yeah, of course you do. You just want a bit of consistency and fairness, and we're not getting it. And I listened to 606 on the way home, and an Everton fan rang in, and I thought, oh, he's going to be like giving it the big in about Everton. But no, he says, oh, it is a good win for us, but everything what Forrest are saying, he says, I'm all for it. There should be more clubs what should speak up to the authorities, and says, no, this is wrong. We'll go on about it in a minute about professional ways and professional protocols and all of that, but even other fans are saying it, and he'd be like, he could just turn around and just basically say, oh, just get over it, you lost the game, blah blah blah, but no, there's other fans
I think there is some, I will hear from an Everton fan in a few minutes, but there is some kind of, I think there's a little bit of solidarity between Everton and Forest fans because of the PSR thing. And obviously this was the PSR derby, which is why it feels even more annoying to have come away with nothing. But yeah, I think when Forest released that statement after the PSR points deduction, there were a lot of fans, including Everton fans, who are going, yeah, say it like it is. But like you say, we'll talk about that in a bit more detail after the break. Let's just mention McNeil, he always seems to do well against us. He received the ball, 30 yards out. He gets the ball back from his teammate, has enough time and space. Generally, they say in coaching, don't they, that if the opposition are only shooting from 30 yards and those are the only shots they have, you're usually doing okay. But it had power, it had accuracy. And again, one of those things, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah, and we was right behind it because it was at the Gladys Street end, and you know when you kind of you see a chain of events and you know what's going to happen, and he was just waiting there. I thought he's just going to hit this, and I just waited for the Gladys Street end to erupt, because they knew at 2-0 we wasn't getting back into it.
Yeah,
and straight in the back of Matt Sellers' net. You could see it happening. Again, it's a preventable goal because obviously they've just like let him line up and shoot. But I just think today that. And a similar thing happened in the game at the City Ground before Christmas, is that Everton just packed the box. Mm. And we're trying to like move them about like chess pieces and try and create an opening. But they're very disciplined. You've got like Brathwaite, Mikulenko, Ashley Young and Tarkovsky, and they're just going to clear everything. And you just know that any cross what's going to come in, they're going to like clear it and everything. And I just think, well, again, it's just a bit of a game where were clueless in attack. It was like just lack of ideas, and it took to the very latter stage of the game where we thought, oh, we'll get Nick Carty and Aina on these long throws, and they didn't work because Pickford was going to come for the ball, Brathwaite was going to come for the ball, and Tarkovsky, and they just cleared everything. So
yeah,
I think we were just like toothless in attack today. And
yeah, I mean, like you say, is that we knew that they're going to be difficult to break through. So chances like the one that where the save was from Pickford, those are like gold dust, aren't they? And therefore Pickford, you could argue, won the game for Everton really with that one. He certainly celebrated like he'd won the game. The match basically petered out after that. Like you say, the second goal killed it. It petered out. On the commentary, the Sky commentators had made the usual crack about, Everton fans will be fearful of the fact that Divock Origi's on the bench. And I was just thinking, Everton fans won't, Forest fans will, if he gets on the pitch. And true to form, he came on and pretty much did nothing. So, but then neither did anyone else. So we'll leave the our thoughts on the match there. I will just say a quick mention of the league table, because it's looking very much like it is going to be Sheffield United down, and then 2 from 3, which is Forest and Luton and Burnley, who are staging their revival. So Burnley are in 19th on 23 points, Luton on 25 in 18th position, and we're just above the dotted line on 26. But Everton have now got daylight as well as a game in hand, as they're on 30. We'll be back in just a sec with the Everton viewpoint and a discussion about, well, you know what.
The 1865 Match Report.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Like all of our podcasts this season, this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Make Green King your go-to destination for the season's final stretch. But why? Well, for one, you can wash every televised Forest game down with delicious food and refreshing beverages. And with 900 sports pubs dotted around the UK, chances are you're within walking distance of your local Green King. Let's be honest, watching football is way better with friends and family. So get the squad together for every televised Premier League fixture in an atmosphere worth sharing. That includes huge title showdowns, huge. The race for European qualification and nail-biting relegation six-pointers, unfortunately, involving our very own Nottingham Forest. Don't forget to download the Green King Sport app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. Now it's back to your podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Mike Richards from the Hello Eternity Everton podcast here, just to give an Everton perspective on today's 2-0 win for ourselves. Fantastic for us, of course, to pick up 3 points against a side who was so close to us in the table. It's very tight down there at this moment in time, so 3 points is massive for us, and also clean sheeting and another 2 goals to boot as well. A game went the way that I thought it would from our side, in terms of we were gritty and determined after a poor opening 10 or 15 minutes, but we played the way that we have been playing at times this season when we won games, and that's been difficult to beat and being gritty, and that's exactly how it played out for us. Obviously all the talk, I'm assuming, during the game on social media and after the game was about the apparent 3 missed penalties by Anthony Taylor. I thought it was poor for both sides, by the way. He didn't referee the game particularly well. I think 3 penalties is being kind. For me, I think the handball is far too close to him in terms of from where the ball was hit to give handball for that. And I think the foul in the first half, again, the Forest player has gone down far too easy for me, looking for a minimal contact. That should not be a penalty, in my opinion, obviously. Different for yourselves, of course, looking at through your eyes. The third one on Hudson-Odoi, yeah, there's certainly definitely a shout for a penalty there. I can see why yourselves and obviously players weren't happy about that. But as far as we're concerned, we just don't care. And because we've been there, done that ourselves this season, where we've not been given penalties that we thought that we should have had. So obviously there's going to be a fallout now in regards to the comments that were made by your club post-match, which I'll watch on with interest. But as far as we're concerned, it's 3 massive points. It's 3 points that we needed after obviously Chelsea tore us apart on Monday night. And we're grateful to get them and go into Wednesday's Merseyside derby with a little bit of confidence into a game which we see as a free hit. But I certainly think it's going to go to the wire in terms of the relegation battle this season. And hopefully ourselves, now we've done ourselves a real favour, give ourselves a shot in the arm, and hopefully now we can look upwards and look forward and get a couple more wins to ensure we stay in the Premier League.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike, and welcome back to the 1865 match report, where Forest have lost 2-0 away at Everton. Tom, I mean, Mike is understandably making the point there that when you are the team that's on the positive end of refereeing decisions, by this stage of season, every club can say, well, we've had some go against us, so it feels like it's evening things out to have some go for us. And you can understand where he's coming from, can't you? But earlier on in our group chat, we were totting up the decisions, and starting off from the Man United away match at the start of the season, we had the penalty given against us, the sending off as well of Joe Worrall. Then we've had not having a penalty against Everton at home, the Bolly second yellow, Ivan Toney's foam movement, the non-penalty against Newcastle, the non-penalty against West Ham, the drop ball against Liverpool, the foul by Moda for Brighton, and then today, three penalties not given. So they really don't feel as if they've evened out, do they, Tom?
No, they don't. But having said that, this is going to probably sound cynical and a bit coincidental, but I don't think we've helped ourselves with what's happened, what's run parallel with that. So obviously bringing in Mark Clattenburg as the ref analyst and obviously the tweet today from the club. And I just think that the media are having a bit of a field day with us at the moment. We had it last season, didn't we, with the 30-odd signings and everything. We stayed up. And then this season, all through the season from, September time, I think it was, bad decisions, and it's just followed us around like wildfire, hasn't it? Then we haven't helped ourselves with our certain conduct. Then obviously you've had the profit and sustainability charges and the appeals and all of that type of thing on top of us as well. So to be honest, it's been a bit of a wretched season. Well, not a bit. It has been a very much a wretched season, hasn't it? It's been awful, and it's been... Oh, I don't want to say, oh, end it now and I want us to get relegated. I'm not saying that because I can sincerely hope we do stay up, but it hasn't been a very enjoyable season as a match-going fan going home and away every week. So yeah, I just want us to stay up and season.
I've got two things to say to that. So number one, obviously, I outlined all of those things that we came up with in our group about all those decisions. The other thing which they mentioned on, I think Brian Laws mentioned it on Radio Nottingham, is apparently an independent panel has ruled that there have been 25 VAR decisions so far this season where afterwards an independent panel have ruled that those should have been given the other way. And it's an absolute farce, isn't it, Tom?
VAR has been...
It's a farce.
Yes, I didn't mean to say that. But yeah, it's been a farce all season, hasn't it? I mean, they've got Michael Owen in the studio now. And it's funny, isn't it, that since that's been launched by Sky, not one of our decisions has been a talking point in that. And that tells you everything. And I honestly do think that if you look at VAR over the season, it's... And I mean, other clubs are saying it now that it's in favour of the top six to protect their status, etc. But yeah, we've it's been a horrible season.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say is that if Man City employed a refereeing consultant, maybe not Clattenburg, but you know what Pep's like, he'd probably get some giant of European refereeing, like a Pierluigi Collina or something, and if they employed a refereeing consultant, everyone would be saying it's a genius move. If they made statements, maybe not Man City, but if other clubs, big clubs, make statements against the FA and against Pogmol, then it's they're really standing up. It's no, just because Forest say it. And this isn't a Forest thing. This is a team not in the big six. And I genuinely believe that most things are cock-up rather than conspiracy. And I do think that today's decisions and the appointment of someone who's apparently a Luton fan as the VAR, I think those are cock-ups rather than conspiracies. But it just shows the governance of the game, both from a refereeing and a general governance point of view. Yeah, there's a lot to be desired there.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the boot was on the other foot and it was a Man U fan doing a Liverpool game or a Man City game, and you wouldn't hear the last of it, because it's such, we're meant to be just suck it up and get on with it and this, that and the other. So
well, hold that thought, because let's just listen to what Nuno Espirito Santo had to say to Radio Nottingham.
When we are at home, we see matches and we see decisions and by the referee and by VAR say, okay, let's have a hope. If something happens to Forest, they will decide the same way. So they decide a different way. Why, Colin? Tell me why. Someone to explain to me. It's not contact on Gio Reyna. It's a penalty. Why? Why? And you see on previous games, the same referee with similar situations giving penalties.
So, I mean, it's a very hard thing to prove, but are you thinking now it's happened so many times, not only today, but going back as well, are you starting to think the unthinkable, that there's conspiracy here?
If we were in another country, for sure that will come up.
Strong words there from Nuno. He's not exactly being subtle there. He's basically saying that if we're in another country, then there would be talk about conspiracy. So I say, I believe in cock-up, not conspiracy, but you can understand why the manager of a club who've had that many decisions that we've outlined go against him, and most of those have been since Nuno's taken over, which is only, what, 4 months ago. You can understand why he is spitting feathers.
Yeah, you can understand, but also, first and foremost, we've got to make sure we get our own house in order. We could have played better today. We could have played better last week against Wolves. And when you like passing up opportunities of scoring goals, etc., I mean, yeah, okay, the decisions didn't go our way. I get all of that. But like we said just before we started recording, if Forest have like left everything on the field today and come away with it, yeah, there would be obviously traction with the decisions. Yes, we're hard done by. Yeah. I'm not contradicting myself. There were decisions which did go against us, but can you actually say that has Nuno left everything out there? Have the players left everything out there? No, because we wasn't good enough to win that game of football today. And we're in a relegation battle. We've been in a relegation battle for the last, 2 months, if not the whole season, because of obviously our form, etc. And ultimately, we haven't been good enough in matches to win games in the Premier League this season. I mean, last week when we was 2-1 up against Wolves.
It's free, clear, Blake.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, when we was 2-1 up against the Wolves, we should have had like better game management. We should have been like more mature and see that game out and limit Wolves' chances. Ultimately, we didn't win the game. The other week against Luton, we didn't see the game out, and things like this over the season will come back to haunt us. And yeah, you can go on about decisions not going our way. Yeah, granted, but we've got to do a hell of a lot more in front of goal and at the other end of not conceding stupid goals. So yeah, coming away from Goodison Park this afternoon, I was worried. I've been worried for the last couple of weeks because of how Burnley have been picking up results and Luton just won't go away. I am worried about where we're going to land up once the season ends. And I've got a horrible feeling that it might be the Championship, because I just think that the players just don't have that belief and they're getting embroiled in this hard done by nature. And the players can do a lot more in my eyes.
Speaking of which, let's hear from Nico Williams talking to Sky after the game.
Listen, it's three clear, blatant penalties. Everyone watching that game knew they were all penalties. They're clear. Every single week this happens now. We're getting decisions against us. I don't know why. Is it because we're lower bottom half the table team? Because I guarantee all the top six teams, they're getting every single one of them. And I know every single person watching that game today knew all three of them were clear, blatant penalties.
So, Tom, Nico not mincing his words. We've heard Morgan Gibbs-White earlier in the season saying that. Are you concerned then, from what you were saying just a minute ago, that actually the players are getting caught up in the victim mentality?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a bit of a cop-out. Like I said, I'm not contradicting. Yeah, there are decisions what haven't gone our way. But Everton aren't a good side. They're down at the bottom for a reason, regardless of point deductions. And we haven't done enough in the game, well, the two games against Everton this season. At home, we look devoid of ideas. Today, they just packed them, their box, and we couldn't break them down. And Tarkowski and Brathwaite were heading everything away. Last week, we should have had, at home, 2-1 up, should have seen that game out. The other week, 1-0 up against Luton, should have made the game like dead and buried, and we didn't. They scored at the end. And yeah, I just think players and the managers can do a lot more, but they seem to be using like the victim mentality at the moment just to like take the pressure up, whether it's a like diversion tactic, I don't know, but yeah, it seems to be every week, and I'm like thinking, let's look at the bigger picture here. Have you done enough to win a game of football? No. And are these decisions going to be the factor that we potentially could go down? You might look at it and thinking, well, if this happened, that happened. But yeah, when you, like, if teams around us, we've only beaten Sheffield United, and that was in the last minute, and we haven't beaten the team around us. So do we deserve to stay in the league on that point alone? Possibly not, because like I says, we didn't beat Luton over two games. We haven't beaten Everton over two games. We've still got Burnley to go, but we only got 1-1 at our place in September. Didn't beat Brentford over two games. So it's things like that where you look at it over a season, and ultimately we might not do enough. And I don't want to be throwing the towel in thinking we're going to get relegation, but this is the reality at the end of the day. Have we won enough games to stay in the Premier League? No. And I sincerely hope we do win a couple more, okay, stay in the Premier League.
Yeah, and okay, so I guess thinking about everything you just said, the one thing that football fans generally will always demand is that players give everything. And there have been times I think people have had cause to say that, especially when you look at the way that Luton have approached the season, the way that Coventry approached today's semi-final against Man United. They were 3-0 down with 20 minutes to go, and they got back into it and very nearly won it in the last seconds of stoppage time, of extra time. And yet it doesn't always feel like, so, you know, as soon as that second goal went in, we knew that Forest would just curl up and die, basically. So I see the point you're making. The other thing is that there was more fight in that statement that we had read out at the start of this podcast that Forrest released on the cusp of full time about the three decisions and about how Forrest will be looking into their options. And you know what it reminded me of? And I put this on Twitter. It reminded me of Basil Fawlty going outside and absolutely thrashing his car with that branch because he got just so peed off. It's like, it is a bit like having a tantrum. And I did put a Twitter poll out there to our fellow Forest fans. Do you support the NFFC statement? 64% said, yes, we've had enough. And only 36% said, no, it's embarrassing. Although we did have somebody who did comment back and said, I'd like to vote for both, please. So thank you, Skaggy Doo, because I think that's the most appropriate response that I could think about. So it looks as though there's going to be an FA investigation. Now, we will cover more about this in the Friday Five, our weekly news roundup at the end of this week. But Tom, I think you've made your views pretty clear on this. I don't think you're a fan, are you?
No, when I was walking from Goodison Park to the car, and I saw it come up on my phone. And you know, you get those like parody accounts where they make out that they are the real thing, where they put like Nottingham Forest FC, and they might have like changed a word or something. Changed a letter.
Nottingham Forset.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was a joke. Then puts BBC Sounds on to listen to Radio Nottingham's post match coverage, and the tweet was real. I'm not thinking, I get the sentiment why they've done it. I get it. But have a bit more. You're in the Premier League now. It seemed like a tweet from a pub drunk when you look at it.
Okay, but using the Basil Fawlty analogy, can you see what's happened? Because Forest they've done all these things that they think are trying to play the game. So even appointing Clattenburg to kind of have that voice with referees. Now, whether he's the right person to do it, but, you know, trying to have an innovative approach, say, okay, we want to understand what's going on here. They have, they won praise from the independent panel for collaborating with the PSR investigation and everything like that. So they're trying to do things the right way. And then eventually they've reached a point where they feel they've got no option. They reach the end of their tether and they're going outside and beating their car with a big branch.
Yeah, but I just think it was just, there's a way of doing it. They could have like released a well-written statement with a bit of thought behind it saying, we're unhappy with these decisions. We will seek clarity with the PGMOL, et cetera, et cetera. But to come out with that tweet, it's just like, he's just something like a petulant kid would do. I get the tweet. I'm wording. I get it, but there's a way of doing it, and sometimes it's best not to be. It's not a good thing to be always try to be always clever. There's certain ways you can do it. And yeah, when the tweet came out, I thought all you're gonna do is just get a spotlight for negativity from the media. I mean, Carragher and Neville have waded in when they were doing a pre-match in the Fulham Liverpool game, so they've waded in and says it was daft. And I get why we've done it, but no, there's a way of doing things, and I just think sending out a tweet right on the full-time whistle, I thought it was a bit sort of like a fan would do rather than somebody who's meant to be in a professional position at the football club.
I mean, my thought was basically that, you know, for those of you who got, well, we've all been told in terms of workplace etiquette, you know, if you're sending and never send an email in anger, always kind of draft it, sleep on it, go away, at the very least go away and have a cup of tea or whatever. But ideally, leave it until the next day. And you can't kind of think that maybe they should have done that. But equally, we know that our owner is somebody who is very, very hot-blooded, shall we say. And then I'll also add in there just something to do with outside the club. Mikel Arteta, he was investigated by the FA after his referee tirade after Arsenal played Newcastle, and they found no case to answer. So do you think that's going to happen to Forest, bearing in mind that they're saying that Forest are being investigated?
No, we're getting a fine. It's inevitable, isn't it? We're getting a fine for that tweet, and it will go on the game, bringing the game into disrepute. And I think Williams will get done as well for what he said. I think they've like given Morgan Gibbs-White the other week, like cut him a bit of slack, but and then another player's come out, and I think Williams is going to cop for this one. Mm-hmm. And I think the club will have to pay like some kind of fine, and what's like 50 grand fine or something like that for bringing the game into disrepute, because they're questioning the integrity of the professionalism of a referee. We know Atwell's not a great referee. We know, allegedly, well, it's been proven, hasn't he? He's a Luton fan, but there's certain things you cannot just come out and say kind of thing. So yeah, I think the FA will throw the book at Forest.
As you pointed out, Atwell was also the referee at Old Trafford, and also Anthony Taylor. We've had our run-ins with him already this season. It seems like, I don't know, we live in a world where rightly or wrongly you have to pick your battles. I will just give a quick mention on Twitter to T. Wheatman, who, when Carragher was saying on Sky about, oh, this from Forest is embarrassing and you've got to show a bit of class, and he just pointed out that this is the same Jamie Carragher who spits at children. So make of that what you will. And that's where we need to leave today's match report. I say we will have more reaction in our Friday Five news roundup, which comes at the end of the week. It's certainly been an explosive end to a really, really, I mean, I can only describe it as tempestuous, tumultuous, difficult, demoralising, depressing in many ways. It's been quite a week for the Forest fan. So we want to say thank you to Tom Newton. Thank you to Mike from the Unholy Trinity podcast. And thank you also to you, listener, for joining us. We'll be back at the end of the week, and then we'll have a report after the Man City match. In the meantime, try and stay strong. Come on, you Reds.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.